Gab, the Working Musicians Podcast, episode number 97 for Monday, January 9th, 2017. Greetings, folks, and welcome to Gig Gab, the Working Musicians Podcast by, for, and about working musicians here with a little bit of a scratchy throat in Durham, New Hampshire. I'm Dave Hamilton.
Here, battling the rain in Northern California, it's Paul Kent.
Yeah, I heard about all those storms that you were having over there. Everything all right, man?
Yeah, it's good. You know, we don't get weather here, right?
Okay, so is that what it is, or are these like real like storms?
No. Okay. No, it's dumping water, and we don't have great infrastructure for dealing with it. And so there's a lot of flooding going on, and a lot of people are really, you know, displaced, and, you know, there are problems, but a component of it is we don't get a lot of weather that we have to deal with on a regular basis. So we have to, when it happens, we have to deal with it. But anyway, that being said, Happy New Year, my brother.
Happy New Year to you, man. That's right. We haven't done this since then. Did you have you played a New Year's Eve gig? Is that right?
Yeah, we had an awesome New Year's Eve gig. Someone cut a deal with a big hotel and threw a huge party, about a 700-800 person party, you know, expensive ticket price. We were the hired entertainment. It was really fun, but the only lesson I have in that, and this is the second year we played for this guy.
Okay.
You know, we're the hired entertainment. And in our contract, there was specific call outs of what we were required to do to promote the gig.
Sure.
And they were very specific, and we did exactly those things. And, you know, he came back and, you know, wanted to know why my band members weren't pushing the event as much, you know, to his satisfaction. Uh-huh. And I cut that off real quick and I said, dude, I'm not going to require my guys to do your marketing for you. You know, we will help. You know, we signed on and we're going to do everything we've agreed to do.
Yeah.
But don't push that line. That's not cool.
Yeah. It's always interesting to me. And you know, you get that not just with, especially for like I guess it's not a private party, it's a public party, but certainly for club dates, you know, there's the agreed upon stuff. And then sometimes there's that expectation of doing more. It's like, well, like I got other things to do. I got to go to the next gig. This isn't my gig.
This is all interwoven to one big premise that I'm giving you is that if you have your own audience, you often will write your own ticket for a lot of these things. And so certainly one of the reasons he hired us is because we knew we have a good fan base. And to that effect, he sold a lot of tickets to our fan base.
Sure.
Certainly paid for the band selling to our fan base. I think there were like out of the 700 people, he had a VIP section that was 12 tables, I believe, of 12. And I think 10 of them were, you know, purchased outright, you know, like one person bought the table, you know, that were just people that I knew personally. So, you know, we covered our part of this. And again, you know, me pushing back hard on this guy, if it's too contentious, then you don't get invited back.
Of course.
We got a pretty good pay deal. So I was more like business-like about it. Like, dude, we're going to the letter of the contract. You know, my guys may do more. I'm happy to let them know. But if they choose not to use their social media feeds to push this, I'm not going to have a problem with them. And you shouldn't either. That's the
message. Sure. Yeah. And that's the reasonable way to handle it for anybody, any kind of scenario. Cause it will happen. And it's fascinating. And you know, my response to that, and again, like you said, you have to do it in a nice way and in a business-like way, is, look, you set up all the parameters for this gig, assuming that this person did, but you picked, you know, where it was going to be, what time it was going to be, the ticket prices, you know, all of the logistics, and one of the logistics you chose was us, and that's great. But unless we were involved in picking all those logistics, then maybe we're not, you know, maybe this isn't the right gig for us to promote, right? We know our audience, and maybe for your audience, it's exactly the right fit and that. But I always say, look, you know, if we're going to be promoting this to our audience, I need to be involved in choosing all the logistics. And that might mean a start time changes or a set times change, or, you know, our audience is more highbrow or less highbrow than what you're targeting, whatever, you know, all of those factors kind of come into it. And it's like, yeah, you picked all this stuff. I assumed you had.
I'm the entertainment.
Yeah, I'm just the entertainment. I assumed you had like a target market that you went to hit. And if your target market was all of my people, then tell me that up front and let's have that conversation as part of the negotiation. Not
well, it dawns on me that if I'm going to sell all the tickets, I should keep all the money. Right. So, right. You know, I have a little background in doing events. And so it dawns on me really that if my jaw is good enough for this, if I'm going to do the work to sell it as well, you know, and I suppose I could bounce a higher fee off him and he's going to have a business decision, you know, it is his guys. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to find another band that's going to replace the amount that he has. So it's an interesting thing, but I'm putting it in my head. It was, but to get the business stuff out of the way,
sure.
It was a great gig. It was a lot of fun. People had a blast. The band really was cooking. And I like playing those New Year's Eve things. Like my wife gets on stage. I get a kiss at midnight, which is a good thing.
That's always a good thing. Yeah.
That's a good thing. And so it was really, really fun. And this is the second year we've done that. I think this is the fifth year in a row we've had a New Year's Eve gig. And, you know, the funny thing coming out of a New Year's Eve gig, it gets me really kind of focused. Like, where are we and what are we doing, you know, with this band? What are we going to do moving forward?
Sure.
I can't personally, I don't know about you. I do know about you. I can't just sit and just say, well, let's just keep doing the same thing we've been doing over and over again. I need like some goals to shoot for. I need to evolve what I'm doing on a constant basis. And so, you know, what I do every year with the band is right around New Year's is I write a letter to the band. Hmm. And, you know, it was an email before. It's a Slack message now. And it's like, here's what we've accomplished. Here's where we are. Here's where we're going. Here's the bands that we're competing for. Here's what we need to do to make more money. Here's what we need to do to get more gigs. Here's my current assessment of the status of going out to get the gigs. It's, you know, it's part of a leadership thing just to let the guys know, you know, give them a little peek underneath the kimono of the work that I do to book the band. It's bit of a rallying cry.
We talk about this on our small business podcast, the small business show that I do with Shannon Jean. And it's the concept that we use is the executive summary. Right. And you can do it any time of year, but certainly the beginning of a calendar year makes as good sense as anything.
Yep.
And it's exactly this. It's, you know, first of all, you put down your success list because nobody else is going to congratulate you for the things that you did great. Right. So you put that in there and
so true.
And as a small business owner and anybody who is a musician is a small business owner, especially a working musician. Right. So you should separate from your band. But it certainly could include things that you've done with your bands. You should make your own success list, right? Because there's going to be times when the gigs don't come up, or you have a bad string of gigs or, you know, whatever. And then you can look at that list and you don't want to live in the past, but you want to bolster your confidence for the future. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I've done all these great things. Let's just keep doing great things, you know? And
yeah.
So, but at the executive summary includes that, but it also includes the, here's what can we do better? What are our goals for the year? Or what are the systems we're going to put in place? I always say goals are for losers, but, well, because what happens when you get to your goal? You're done. I'm never done. I don't know about you, you know? So it's always like, what can we do to put in place that's a better system that'll, you know, increase our game, bring us to a new plateau. It's that executive summary, but I've never done that with a band before. And I it's funny you bring this up because I was thinking about doing exactly that with Fling, especially this year, because we've kind of hit a little bit of a lull.
So, remember we had that conversation once upon a time about, there are subtle differences between managing a band and managing a business. Some of it is the fact that it's creative people, you know, particularly, and some of it is that they're not on your salary.
It's a hobby for some.
Yep. Yeah. So my tact with these have been, yes, we've accomplished great things. We played X amount of gigs. We turned down Y amount of gigs to let them know that we could have worked more if people wanted to work for less money. You know, so I do put a little bit of quantification just to let them know, you know, we're in the game quite a bit. So that's one part of it. Then I kind of like, here's where we are. You know, in this area, you know, I keep seeing X amount of bands that we go up against for consideration for certain gigs. There's it seems like some of the bands that have been around are waning a little bit, or are losing guys, you know, aging out.
Sure.
Or
matriculating out of the system.
Exactly. And then there's a, you know, people who want into the A-list and, you know, are being aggressive to get those gigs. And so, you know, who are we seeing? And then a little bit of what are people doing that are successful? What do we do? You know, remind everybody, what's the core thing that we do that's successful? And then, you know, we've talked on many times in over 97 episodes that there are things that make a band run optimally. And if there's anything happening in my band that I just want to pull the strings a little bit and remind people. And I'm not going to share too much about that note, except for the basic premise of the note is that the basic premise of my band is everybody does the same amount of work. Everybody is, you know, is invested in the amount of preparation for gigs and rehearsals to the same degree. That creates trust. That creates brotherhood and teamwork in a band. And that I think that's worth sharing here is that,
yeah,
you know, the premise of a working band as opposed to just a collection of people who get together at will. And so as a leader, I want to remind everybody, prepare for rehearsal. Dress for gigs. Everybody is held to the same standard. And, you know, this bites me in the butt sometimes because a lot of times people don't see themselves, or they see that they are doing it when in fact they're not doing it. Right.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Everybody's definition of preparation can be a little bit different, but that was a very useful thing. Huh. And then I talked a little bit about looking forward, you know, where are we with gigs? So as of January 1st, how many gigs do we have already booked for the new year versus where were we last year? And for my band, it's proving a little harder. And actually, I thought it'd be fun to kind of talk a little bit about that because I think it'll be useful for you, be useful for other people. And I'm sure, you know, you're going to view a lot of these same types of things. I have a band that's been together 17 years.
Yeah.
We play a lot. People know us. We don't get as much corporate work as I would like. We don't get as much wedding work as I would like. A few moving parts of that. Maybe I'll get back to that in a second. But, you know, the thing is, and our band flirts with overexposure sometimes.
I think all bands do.
There you go. And I am constantly thinking, what does a mature, ongoing concern of a band do to communicate fresh, communicate that it's moving forward? And the things that I've been thinking of more of, and actually, you know, we kind of mentioned it, this whole four-walling a gig where you own it and operate it and do it your way and keep all the money, that's one thing. The concept of themed nights. So we're talking about, you know, taking a club gig that we have scheduled for August and a club gig for us to fill a club in August after we've been playing for free outside during the days all summer is a little harder to fill.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? What are we going to do to get a club date filled? And also, you know, these types of things, I think, get the band's attention. So, you know, whereas right now we're overhauling our repertoire as we always do every January through May. But then I have this thing. So doing a theme night, you know, we're thinking about a Tower of Power show and whether we'll have the time to prepare that adequately. You know, we have about 8 or 9 Tower of Power songs, probably need about 16 or 17 to do a 2-hour set of Tower of Power. So a themed night. The other thing that I'm thinking about is themed nights. So we should do a Halloween show. We should own and do and create a tradition. That's sure. The House Rockers Halloween show. And you're very familiar with this. So you've attended those, you've played those, right?
Yep.
This has been a part of your life for a long time. The House Rockers just kind of like now our New Year's Eve seems to be turning into something. We early in the band's life, we used to do a Christmas show, like a rock and soul Christmas show. I rented out a theater and it was kind of fun. What happened there is I was doing all the work on selling the tickets and it was just too much. You know, I couldn't do all the work. So sure. I let that one go. But these are the things that are in my mind. My band, we're around a long time. Generally, people know us. We have to improve our chops. Let me rephrase that. I have to improve my chops of actively going after corporate work to try and find more, you know, better paying gigs for this band. And remember, let me distill this all down. My premise is you keep a band working is how you keep a band together. And there's, you know, because once we start playing less, especially the pro musicians in my band, will find other things to do.
Find other work, right?
Yeah, you know, they, which is just natural thing. So yep. I, you know, I always feel the pressure to keep my band moving forward by keeping it working. And now, you know, the bar has been raised because we had a pretty decent year in terms of getting paid last year to keep the band working at a certain price level. So all this stuff kind of goes into my mind about moving forward. What are we going to do? I know the guys in my group like having a band that's well regarded and that, you know, people go out of their way to come see, you know, so, you know, the House Architects has gotten to a place where it's a pretty special thing for most people. But what are we going to do to keep it fresh moving forward? And those are the things I think about is theme nights, like, you know, the House Rockers play the Rolling Stones, Tower Power, whatever, or like special Valentine's show, special Halloween show, that type of stuff. That stuff is in my mind for this year. It will require a change to the way that we rehearse. So we're spending the next 4 months trying to get 20 to 25 new songs figured out to play in the summer tour that we do. When are we going to fit in this other stuff that we're going to do? And, you know, are we going to be able, when you're playing four times a week, can you still rehearse, you know, a new show essentially?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Cause you've got to fit all that in.
So I just gave you my entire 2017 brain dump, David, any of that stuff, you know, you said you're thinking about talking now, interesting with Fling, that is a democracy. So if you wrote a letter, would that be, oh, cool, one of our guys has taken the reins? Or would it be like, well, that's kind of weird because no one's the leader here. I mean, how would you approach talking to a band when it's more of a democratic thing?
Well, I mean, we've been doing Fling for 10. We're going to come up on our 11th year. March 10th, 2016, I believe, was the first time I ever jammed with Fling. And it wasn't quite the same lineup. But, you know, we're coming up on a lot of this. You know me, so do they. So the act of me simply being Dave is nothing new to them, right? Even though the band's a democracy, there are times when I've just thrown out ideas. And the same is true for all of us, given our relative personalities. Russ and I tend to be more of the organizers of the thing, but that doesn't mean that Mike Burke and Aaron don't have their own ideas. But, you know, that tends to be how it goes. So if Russ were to send out a letter like this, I would almost immediately have things to add to it. If I were to send out a letter like this, Russ would almost immediately have things to add to it. But none of that would be seen as a surprise to anyone, including Russ and I, because we all know each other. Yeah. It's just how we are. I'm thinking about similar things. The question that I actually have for Fling is, what kind of a band do we want to be going forward? We can go play gigs that we're playing, half covers, half originals, or some, any combination thereof, again, depending on the gig, and that's fine. And that can work, but, you know, we're just showing up and playing gigs like a rock band. And is there something more we can do? Can we add to our show more in terms of like lights or really anything? I mean, is there not necessarily choreography, but, you know, things that we can do, tightening up maybe some segues and things like that, and making us unique? Because I think that's the thing. It's not just pick what you're going to do and do it great, but pick something that only you can do. Right. And that way, you know, we make ourselves our own thing. And we've danced and sort of tiptoed into that territory before, but never overly intentionally. I mean, we just sort of do the things we want to do. But I think we can kind of pull all that together and be a little more intentional about it. But when you start doing that, especially in a band that's a democracy, I may not be representing the wishes of everyone.
Yeah. So let me give you something. You're telling me this.
Yeah.
And I'm shrieking in horror because I know how hard it is to communicate something as a leader to a group. And the way that this typically goes, like someone in the band, in my band, will often say, we need to be true to who we are.
Sure.
And I immediately see this blinking light that I know that they're probably 10 different opinions about exactly who we are.
Of course. Oh, absolutely. Right.
So in a democracy, everybody's entitled to that opinion. In a benevolent dictatorship, at least I can try to say, here's my vision of who we are.
Right.
And, and sell that and represent that. So you know, that's when I hear your letter, and then you say Russ might add into it. Yep. But what if the other two guys are like, you know, do you guys realize we're kind of askew on this? And it usually opens up a can of worms sometimes because
absolutely does. It could be the end of a band doing that.
Yeah. This is why, you know, democratic bands seem like chaos to me. Maybe it's a control freak thing or whatever it is, but and maybe, you know, the democratic bands that work are probably because the people who are in that band can thrive in that type of thing.
Well, right? But when you apply the label democratic to it, there is perhaps the incorrect interpretation that just because everyone has a voice, it means that everyone exercises that voice equally. In any sort of democratic scenario that I've been in, but especially bands, there's generally one person that leads and the others follow. But it's a by choice scenario, as opposed to a I am hiring you for this thing scenario. Right. But there needs to be that. And the interesting thing with Fling that sort of evolved over the years is there are times when different members are the leader. Like on stage, most of the time it's me. Right. Somebody, you can't be a democratic band in the middle of a gig. That doesn't work to just get everybody together and huddle and vote. I mean, we've seen bands do that. It's awful. Somebody needs to say the next song we're playing is this one. And everyone else just says, let's go. Right. You know, that kind of thing needs to happen off stage. Most of the time, Russ is the leader. You know, but that doesn't. But again, me sending a letter like this saying, hey, guys, let's focus down what we're doing. The only resistance I would expect to meet on that is if I suggest something or paint a path that someone just that doesn't resonate with someone. I mean, we're kind of on this very wide path, and maybe we really what I'm suggesting is we narrow that down.
Yeah.
And really decide what it is we as Fling want to do. But it might be that, you know, my narrow down leaves the part of the path that Burke likes to walk the best, you know, off to the side. And so that creates that scenario.
Very cool.
I don't know. But I feel like certainly with Fling, we need to do something. Mike, who tends to book.
Just pause right there.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's that we need to do something. I would guess if someone is investing their time to want to listen to a podcast about being in a band, you probably everybody has this feeling. And those somethings are really interesting premises. Like I said, if you're a new band, your something is like, all right, we need to get established.
Right.
Right. And you had said before that goals are kind of weird. You know, to me, goals in any endeavor are kind of a signpost. You know, they at least get you gravitating in the direction that you want to go. You know, I don't have that kind of ideological problem with goals, as you just kind of stated. I'm not like, it's not like you're a failure if you don't achieve your goals.
No.
It's about the journey, right?
It's about the journey. Like I said, for me, it's about putting systems in place that not only hit goals, but my goal is to make sure the system works efficiently. Mm. And then there's no stop to the success point, right? The problem with a goal for me is you hit it and now you're done. And so instead of setting a goal, my goal is to put a system together that works. And then you just keep repeating it over and over and over again and iterating on it and improving from there, as opposed to hitting a goal. And now like, oh, crap, I need to set a new goal.
Let me back up with you. So again, the House Rockers, I had a goal that I identified the problem.
Sure.
The problem is, A, we're not a show band. We don't dress alike. We don't have, we don't have young, beautiful people fronting our show. We're like, you know, we're ripping. Well, thank you, Dave. you know, but I would say in observing the bands that are getting even bigger gigs than us, they're often ex-touring musicians who need to figure out how to make a living. And so they get together, you know, good players. They're very keenly aware of the visual. And they approach it that way. That seems to sell. You know, there's a certain amount of the market will tell you, right? So here in Silicon Valley, you know, a lot of these companies have younger employees. You know, there's a generational thing.
Sure.
You know, engineers coming out of college and that type of thing. What's the music that they like, or what's the experience that they like? And so the market kind of tells you. We get our share of some of this type of work, and certainly when people come see us, they get us to a different degree. But a combination of me having to be more proactive in getting information about our band in front of people, and those people who come and see us bringing us back to their companies and saying, you know, this is a fun show. So we've identified that, you know, the visual part of what we do can always be improved. It's good. It got a lot better this year, by the way. You know, like the horns.
Yeah.
You know,
the
whole new thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been really fun. And it also makes it, I guess this is really important, it makes it a product I feel a lot better about selling. Because, you know, I want to work and I want to, you know, I want to win. And I want the guys in my group to win. But I also don't want people who hire us to go, you know, that wasn't great. You know, that, you know, that wasn't what we expected. Or,
sure.
Yeah, that was fine. Probably won't be using you again. It's probably the worst thing that come back. So, you know, the visual stuff is a goal for us. So what are we going to do to move forward? Continue to work on our show. It's just like I said, this to my band. Live music is a visual art as much as it is an oral art, probably more a visual art than it is an oral art. And so what are we going to do to continue to bring people into this vibe that we create? What are we going to do? Song selection, you know, I don't like the word shtick, but, you know, let's just say interplay amongst the band that creates a vibe that your audience will connect to can always be refined. Dress can always be refined. If we're going to take the approach that we are, you know, a bunch of seasoned musicians, good players, definitely we don't have a problem with the energy.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to if this is what we are, who we are, you know, I can't squeeze Nick into a dress. You know, I can't.
That's a great visual.
There you go. There's things that I have to accept about who we are, but sure. I want to refine and make it the best it can possibly be. And that's a large part of the kind of like goals, for lack of a better word, or path that I want to kind of nudge my band to get on this year is like, be entertaining in all things.
Yep.
People are, and it's funny. I'm talking to you. I'm talking about a band that's been together 17 years. I'm talking about musicians who have been performing the better part of their life. And it's kind of a funny thing that you have to have this conversation, but I'm willing to now accept you do have to have this conversation leader of a band.
Absolutely. Or just as a band, you need to have this conversation. And if your band is one where there's a leader, then that person should be to be leading this conversation. Sure. And if it's not, then someone should. No, it absolutely should be an ongoing conversation, right? Like as you pull together each song, you know, when you're talking about the ending, do you just let the ending happen, or do you stop for a second and be a little bit deliberate about what can we do with the ending of this song, like we have with all the others, that, you know, makes it stick or makes it a thing? All right, great. You know, or do we segue this song? Right. I mean, those questions, they polish, can and should be polish, a little polish, bit of polish.
Polish, that, polish.
That's it. It's all about the polish. That's right. Yeah. And part of polish is, you know, refining things and kind of getting rid of the things that don't work, be it songs or sections of songs or, you know, just the way you, I mean, even down to the way you set up, right? You know, being intentional about them. We've talked about how crazy we are at Fling about that. We've really got that down. Yep. We get to a gig, but it didn't, part of it happened organically. And then we stopped and said, okay, we figured out a few of these things just on the fly. Now let's change the order of this. Let's get Russ in there first to put the lights up in the back. Okay, great. Now, you know, two of us are parking cars while one guy's setting up the lights, while one guy's unpacking drums from boxes. And by the way, that guy's not me because I'm doing another thing. I mean, we have this system and now it's become automatic. But that kind of stuff applied sort of universally to your band is what starts to really lift you up. Yeah.
I'm with you.
It's fun, man. It's fun.
Well, you know, the beginning of the year, you get a chance to take stock and figure out what you're going to create moving forward. It is fun. It is really good stuff. Because, again, if you're willing to listen to this podcast, I'm guessing you love playing in a band. And it's Steve in my band says that one of the great things about playing music, it's something he's going to do for his entire life. And if you're going to commit that amount of time to it, don't you want to evolve in all ways to be better at it? Better in your chops, better in your performance and those types of things. Yeah. So it is, that's one of the great things about, you know, this time of year is taking stock, thinking about where you've been, what lessons you've learned, being realistic about where you are and figuring out what you want to do as you look to the future.
Yep. Totally. I could go on and on, but A, my throat's shot, and B, I have a second podcast to do, and C, I don't want to overwhelm people. We just like this was like a massive amount of bandwidth for the last 30 minutes, Paul. We just like turned on the fire hose and went. But I did do something, if you want a little tip, which is one I've shared before, I did do something before we started the show. Right before we hit record, I said, Paul, I need 30 seconds. I'll be right back. And it's because I noticed how bad my throat was. And it's just bad from talking too much at CES in Las Vegas last week, where there's too much people to talk to, too much noise, and too much dry air. So I went and took a bunch of Advil, because that is the key to keeping my throat. It's what I do at gigs when I show up like this, and I know I'm going to need to sing for a couple hours. So hopefully the Advil will keep me going. It kept me going through this show. Hopefully it keeps me going through the next one too.
So. Very cool. Be healthy, man.
Thanks, man. You too. We are going to be back here. What is it? It's not Monday the 16th. It's Tuesday the 17th, because I'm heading to Mexico with Lisa to go see Phish next weekend. So I will have that to talk about. I got to see the reworked Beatles Love Show that we will talk about then. And I also got to see a last minute ticket to go see Sting in Las Vegas last week.
That must have been incredible.
I'll tell you about it. Yeah, it was a very interesting. Well, it was fantastic, but it was great to see. There were some things about that show that really, as always, you know, I always say that when I go see anybody, it's, you know, there's enjoyment and there's that level of it. But there's always like the professional development part of it. You know, the musician that's there learning things the whole time, whether I want to or not. So
can you ever turn it off and just enjoy a show?
No, that's part of enjoying a show. Yeah. Yeah. So no, I don't think I could turn it off. I don't.
When I go see Bruce, while I'm inspired and probably mentally taking notes of cool things going on,
yeah,
I'm very keenly aware that the greatest gift of those shows to me is to just totally disappear and to be 18 again and just feel that way. I mean, crave it.
Right, right. I can see that. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there's an escape factor of going to see any kind of live music. And certainly when it's, you know, one of your favorite bands or you know, anything like that. But I don't know. I'm okay experiencing it all sort of in parallel. But just, you know, just let it in. I don't know. It's good. That's what I got for next time. You want to add our Desert Island Discs to the next show too, Paul? I know we've been dancing about that behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you folks send yours in. We'll put a note in our Gig Gab group on Facebook there to ask you for yours. And then we'll talk about some of our personal favorites and then our favorites from your list too. So send them to us, feedback@giggabpodcast.com, or visit giggabpodcast.com/Facebook. And you can put them up there. And that's all I got.
Very cool.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Paul.
See you, Dave.
Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year.
Always be performing.